This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, where we are always fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the CTF, holding down the fort here in Lethbridge, Alberta, joined by two of my good friends. Carson Binda, he is in Vancouver. Somehow, I think he's got like 16 roommates or something. God bless you, Carson. So he's our BC director for the CTF. And Franco Terrazano is our federal director, the national director. I think that the last radio interview I had called you my boss and executive director. So whatever. Franco is our federal director in Ottawa. So he's like, he can see the Peace Tower. He can see this building from like his house with his cat. We got a lot to go over here. So recently-ish, we saw Prime Minister Mark Carney head on down to Hamilton, and they were talking about steel and tariffs and that guy named U.S. President Donald Trump with his latest big bag tariff threat. The reason why this is important, or it jumped out to me, fellas, is because I'm old enough to remember the federal election. And I remember when the steel workers, the pipe workers, et cetera, right there in Hamilton were saying, what we need is no industrial carbon tax. Scrap this stupid plan right now. Otherwise, you're going to decimate our industry. But that's not what Carney announced. Carney announced what, Franco? Like more money directly for the industry? And did he do retaliatory tariffs? I honestly didn't read the article.
Well, yeah, Simmer, you know, the reason I really wanted to talk about this is, look, this is not like a news show. We're not just going to do the quick news off the top. But this is actually the reason I want to talk about what happened in Hamilton with Carney and the steel industry, because it's actually like a broader issue of what's going on and what's wrong with the government's approach. Right. So if we backtrack just slightly, in Hamilton, Carney was there, you know, with the steel companies and all that. And he announced $1 billion for steel companies. Okay. Like, look, no matter how you slice it, regardless of the reason, that is corporate welfare, where the government is taking money from ordinary Canadians and, you know, announcing $1 billion of that money for steel companies. You know, it's a little bit convoluted how the steel tariffs work, but it's safe to say that Carney is also increasing or tightening Canada's tariff system of steel entering into Canada. And of course, folks, like whenever the government of Canada announces tariffs, those are taxes on Canadian consumers. Okay. But the reason I wanted to talk about this, right, the $1 billion, let's call it corporate welfare, the tightening of the tariff system, is because the government is looking to intervene in the economy, waste taxpayers' money, but then the government isn't doing the one thing that it has under its control that could make life more affordable for all Canadians and help all Canadian businesses. And that's ending the punishing industrial carbon tax. Right? Like the industrial carbon tax is going to hammer steel companies in Canada and, of course, steel workers. Like, Chris, you alluded to the union and his comments that it made about that industrial carbon tax. And let me just read a quote from the Canadian Piping Trades Local 67 in Hamilton. Okay, here's a quote. The industrial carbon tax that Mark Carney has pledged to keep and undoubtedly increase will decimate the city of Hamilton and all its supportive industries. I have spoken with top officials at our most vibrant steel producer, and the industrial carbon tax costs upwards of $800 million a year and will increase once the consumer carbon tax is shifted upwards to producers. Okay, like there you have it, folks. Like, if you really want to make Canada a competitive economy, then we got to stop taxing our producers and our workers into oblivion. So the first thing that Carney, the government, should be doing is ending its sneaky, its hidden carbon tax on Canadian businesses.
Big time. And I need to really put a point on this because I've got some background in what I would call the trade union movement, okay, especially in British Columbia. Pretty much all of the dudes in my family are tradesmen, so mechanics or joiners or boilermakers, you name it, okay? Mining. I could not believe that a trade union was so upset, so worried, so hitting the alarm bell over this punishing, terrible, hidden industrial carbon tax. They endorsed the federal conservatives. So anyone who's followed politics in Canada for the last 30 years would have had their jaws on the ground. Like, that is a cultural shift. Why did that happen? largely because of something like the threat, exactly what Franco just laid out there, of the hidden industrial carbon tax. And I just wanted to raise this in the same context of, yes, take the win, okay, the consumer-facing first carbon tax, as we would call it, at the gas pump and on our heat bills is gone, thank goodness. So on average, you're driving past a gas station lately, it's probably about 20 cents cheaper than it was before that was finally gone. But unfortunately, we have some bad news. There's like zombie forms of the carbon tax that are still lurching around this country. And like Franco just pointed out, Carney is going to, what did he say? Strengthen the industrial carbon tax. They're still working on the regs for that. Okay. We're all bracing for impact. But there's another kind of weird hidden carbon tax that is really big, and that's still in British Columbia, Carson. Now, to be fair, it was lower, like gas was about $1.55 when I was driving through the Kootenays a little while ago, which is cheaper than I've ever seen it there for the last few years. But man, it's still about 18 cents more than it is here in Lethbridge. What's the deal with this second carbon tax thing that's in BC?
Well, Chris, I think you hit the nail on the head when you called it exactly what it is, a zombie carbon tax that's still reaching into people's pockets and taking money out of it. So in BC, we've always had this second hidden carbon tax that's on consumers, just like the first one that we all know about. It's hidden deep within BC's clean fuel regulations. And what it does is it requires fuel producers to buy and sell and trade these credits on this big, complicated international market. Brass tax, what it means for your family, is gasoline fuel here in British Columbia is about 18 and a half cents more expensive than it is in Alberta. So if you're filling up your car in Kootenay, you're paying about $14 more to fill up your minivan than you would if you drove an hour across the border into Alberta. So this is still a tax grab from the David Eby government that's costing British Columbians big time. I mean, $14 every time your family fills up the minivan? That's no small potatoes at a time when British Columbians are laying awake at night wondering how they're going to make ends meet. So this is a zombie carbon tax that's risen from the dead. It's still reaching into your pockets and costing you big time every time you fill up at the pump.
Big time. All right. Quickly, Franco, before we move on to this so-called spending review that's apparently happening, I think, sort of, kind of, if I squint, in Ottawa. What's your guess here? Do you think that this is something that we can overcome? Do you think that Carney, so he's got his degree in economics, super smart dude. He was leading the Bank of England, leading the Bank of Canada. When he is told in black and white by things like the steelworkers, like, you must not put through this industrial carbon tax, do you think this is one of those common sense things that he might, like, roll back if we push him hard enough?
Well, I mean, what's the number one thing politicians want? They want to keep a hold of their cushy political jobs, yeah, right? They want to get reelected. I mean, like, fast forward or rewind back to 2021 federal election, and the Conservatives under Erin O'Toole ran on a carbon tax. Right.
Well,
we beat that out of them. Right. Yeah. And like, look, I mean, I'm old enough to remember because it happened all about 3.5 minutes ago when the Liberals under Trudeau loved the consumer carbon tax. Right. And then now they're like, what, posting social media videos congratulating themselves for ending their own consumer carbon tax. So, yes, I do think public pressure can turn any politician down on a tax like the carbon taxes. I just want to reiterate something, though, because
okay,
we talked about the, you know, this hidden carbon tax through fuel regulations in British Columbia. Well, the government, the federal government in Ottawa, modeled similar regulations, after BC's. So that hidden carbon tax through fuel regulations is also going to be applied all across Canada, right? And when those regulations are fully implemented by about 2030, they're going to add about 17-ish cents per liter to the price of gas across Canada as well. So it's not just British Columbia that has that hidden carbon tax through fuel regulations. The federal government has hatched its own hidden carbon tax as well. And, you know, before we move on, I just want to put a final point on the industrial carbon tax, right? So that's the carbon tax. We've talked about it a lot before, but it's the carbon tax on oil and gas companies, steel companies, utilities, things of that nature. Like, number one, obviously it makes prices more expensive, right? You carbon tax a fertilizer plant, that increases costs for farmers and makes food more expensive, right? You carbon tax utilities, well, guess what? That makes your home heating bill more expensive. But it also is going to punish Canadian workers and Canadian businesses. And that's because the vast majority of countries do not impose national carbon taxes. The White House, regardless of who is the president at the time and what jersey color they have on, doesn't impose carbon taxes. So look, I mean, if you have a, you know, a company in Canada and they're thinking about where to reinvest their money, maybe a fertilizer plant, for example, do they start up a new plant in Canada or do they set up new operations in the United States? So really that industrial carbon tax that Mr. Carney seems to swear by, it's really the worst of both worlds. Higher prices for Canadian consumers and fewer jobs for Canadian workers.
Yeah, I think he's going ahead with it because his Hamilton announcement was the perfect time.
Oh, yeah.
For him to say, you know what? We're going to do this and get rid of it. And the fact
perfect
that he
time.
Didn't, I think it shows and it indicates that he's going ahead with it. Very quickly, please don't throw food at me, listeners, dear viewers. But there's also carbon tax import tariffs that Carney's working on. To your point exactly, Franco. The White House, no matter if it's Biden or Trump or whoever's in power, they don't have a national carbon tax. They weren't running on a national carbon tax. Ain't going to happen for the foreseeable future. And Carney gets upset when he looks around the world and finds other countries that don't have a national carbon tax. So he's going to create carbon tariffs. Not kidding. So he called them, what is it, border adjustments during his campaign. So just stay tuned for that. See how much they're going to cost. Speaking of cost... Franco, I just want you to kind of paint a picture for us of what it's like in the capital with the capital C right now in Ottawa when it comes to this spending review. Like, are bureaucrats running around like throwing their lanyards in a bonfire saying like the sky is falling, we have to find like 6.5% savings in our department? What is going on with this spending review in Ottawa?
You know, it's kind of interesting because yeah, like government union bosses, like they're lighting their hair on fire. They're doing their best rendition of Chicken Little, yelling the sky is going to fall, you know, calling even potential savings draconian rollbacks. Like, come on, folks, like get a grip. but on the other hand, like the spending over the last decade has gotten so out of control that, you know, even like the elites in the media or political pundits, even they're kind of acknowledging like, yeah, the government kind of does have to find some savings here. It's so out of control. I mean, like, look, interest charges on the debt are costing taxpayers more than $1 billion a week, right? A brand new hospital, poof, gone every single week because of interest. So things have gone so out of control that even like the typical like pundits who would be, you know, playing Chicken Little with the union bosses, even they're kind of acknowledging like maybe we do need to cut a little bit of spending here and there. Now look, here's an interesting question, because we've heard a lot in the news that departments eventually are going to have to find 15% savings in 3 years, right? Over 3 years, 15% savings. Now I guess my answer is, if those savings are to materialize and spending is going down, like that's a good step. However, what is it? What is the old saying, right? Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yep.
Like, look, in budget 2023, the government launched a similar type of spending review or savings initiative. The government said it was going to find $15 billion of savings over 5 years.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Well, the next year, the government comes along and increases spending by $25 billion, okay? So we've heard this before. What I actually think is more likely to happen if we don't pressure Carney in the right direction is I think spending growth will go down, but overall spending looks like it's going to continue to climb.
What's the difference? Talk to me like I'm six. How is that different? How is it different if spending
Well, it's still more spending. It's still more debt. It's just maybe not spending as crazy as the crazy banana pants Trudeau years.
So kind of like inflation. So inflation is still going up. It's just not going up as fast or fatly.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So, yeah.
Speaking of fatly, what is going on at the CBC? I need to know.
Look, look. Now it's been announced that the Crown corporations have to find some savings, and I'm like, yeah, finally, okay. After spending like crazy for a decade, like finding savings in every area of the budget should be like finding water in the ocean. There should be savings everywhere, okay? Like, remember, Canada Post, right? Lost $3.8 billion over the last 7 years. Just took a $1 billion taxpayer bailout. Yeah. There's fat there to trim. Okay. Via Rail lost $1.9 billion over the last 5 years. Yeah, there's fat there. And of course, your favorite state broadcaster, Simmer, the CBC, costing us taxpayers more than $1 billion every single year. And I've got a great place for the CBC to find savings. So you might remember all the news. Oh, CBC is going to end the bonuses. CBC is going to end the bonuses, right? Backlash from the public across all the entire political spectrum. Well, CBC, we got our hands on some records, and it turns out the CBC did end bonuses, right? $0 of bonuses handed out in 2024-25. But then they just turned around and massively jacked up pay raises. They handed out $38 million in raises last year, $26 million more than the previous year. So, like, are they really ending the bonuses if they just change the name to pay raises and then jack those up? No, I mean, like, talk about just failing to understand the goal and the objective. I mean, look, these are the instead of like really ending the bonuses, these are essentially just like built-in bonuses with higher salaries now.
But Franco, they weren't even called bonuses to begin with. Weren't they called like danger pay or sparkle pay or something?
Yeah, they call them like at risk or performance pay. I remember when Catherine Tate, the former CBC president, was like, we don't hand out bonuses. They're called at risk pay, performance pay. It's like, yeah, everyone else calls them a bonus. Also, your own CBC employees called them a bonus when we asked for the access to information request. Right there in the top right-hand corner, it said bonus. So everyone calls them bonuses, even CBC's own employees.
And to this point, what you're saying is they've just taken the money that was in the bucket, not sort of kind of labeled bonuses, and
Yeah.
just dumped it into pay. But it's still that kind of money. Okay, that is just disgusting. But thank you for keeping us up to date on the state broadcaster. And it doesn't like it when you call it government-funded media. Remember when they got all mad at Twitter? What I find hilarious is I just read through their latest quarterly report and their financials. They call it government funding. Like out loud, like right there in English, government funding in a CBC document. Hilarious. Okay. Carson, I purposefully didn't read about this because I love it when you surprise me with the redonkulous amounts of waste that happens in British Columbia. And I'm just going to warn people, if we're laughing at this, it's for two reasons. One, because you either laugh or cry, and you have to stay a happy warrior. Two, we have to laugh at these robber barons in government and in bureaucracy because they take themselves super seriously. And we have to be the one to pillory them, to poke fun at them and mock them. So if we're laughing about it, we don't think it's actually funny, we're mocking them. So all I know, Carson, is there's something again to do with helicopters in British Columbia. This feels like an episode of Danger Bay. Okay, what's going on?
Oh, Chris, you know the saying, when pigs fly? Well, in British Columbia, the bureaucrats really are taken to the air. We filed a series of Freedom of Information requests after we noticed that it seemed like a lot of bureaucrats were submitting receipts for a luxury helicopter service. Decided to do a little bit more digging, and here's what we found. Bureaucrats at BC's Ministry of Tourism, Arts, Culture, and Sport spent about $100,000 on luxury helicopter rides between Vancouver and Victoria last year alone. On average, they were taking five luxury helicopter rides a week. Like, this is just mind-blowing amounts of waste going on with these tourism bureaucrats. On average, the flights cost about $370 each way. For comparison, the ferry that the government already owns costs 20. So these bureaucrats would have saved taxpayers literally tens of thousands of dollars if they just took the flippin' ferry instead of chartering luxury helicopters every time they need to get between Vancouver and Victoria. One bureaucrat, executive director of the creative section, a lady named Amy Schneider, billed taxpayers for no less than 27 helicopter rides in 2024. If she had just taken the ferry, she would have saved us more than 13 grand last year.
Just
Not
that one person.
just that one bureaucrat. If just that one bureaucrat had taken 27 ferry trips instead of 27 luxury helicopter rides, British Columbia taxpayers would have saved more than 13,400 smackaroos last year alone. Now, I'm picking on Amy Schneider a little bit because she had the most helicopter rides, 27. But in total, there were four bureaucrats at that ministry alone that took 20 or more helicopter trips in 2024. So this is a systemic issue, right? Like, bureaucrats at this ministry are treating a luxury helicopter service like their private chauffeur. It is maddening, especially at a time when British Columbia's public finances are so deep in the red. David Eby's on a taxpayer-funded spending binge right now, single-handedly doubled the debt. British Columbians are laying awake at night wondering how they'll afford to keep a roof over their heads in the most expensive market in North America. Meanwhile, our bureaucrats are blowing 100 grand a year on luxury helicopters. Like, this is maddening, Chris. This is one that really grinds my gears.
Which department is that? Which ministry is that that Amy lady is part of?
Yeah, so all of these receipts, all $100,000, came from the Ministry of Tourism, Arts, Culture, and Sport. Just the Ministry of Tourism, Arts, Culture, and Sport, 250 chopper rides last year alone.
So
So,
we're
look,
lumping
Chris.
in arts and culture with this like slush fund, waste
Yeah,
of
and
money.
Chris, I'd
So
get it if it was, the emergency rescue
yeah,
services,
you're fighting a
making
forest
hell.
fire or something,
Totally.
sure.
Fighting forest fires, picking people up off the highway after horrific car accidents. I get it if it's, the regional RCMP taking out a helicopter to catch a bad guy. This isn't that. This is tourism bureaucrats thinking they're too good to go on the ferry with normal British Columbians. So instead, expensing 100 grand worth of luxury helicopter flights. And for comparison, folks, for those of you sitting at home who might not be familiar with BC geography, because why would you be? The ferry ride between Vancouver and Victoria, it's about an hour and a half on a good day. The helicopters, about 35 minutes. So these bureaucrats are saving themselves about an hour, but billing taxpayers $370 for the privilege? Like, this is maddening. I don't know how the minister responsible let this go on for so long in her ministry without saying, "Hey guys, what are we doing here?" Now, it's worth noting the same minister responsible at the time was one who we caught billing taxpayers thousands of dollars for a boozy dinner. So it sounds like in the Ministry of Tourism, Arts, Culture, and Sport, the rot really does start at the top and drip down through those bureaucrats who think it's appropriate to expense 250 luxury helicopter trips in a year.
Carson is right. I grew up in Hope and Courtney. Courtney's on Vancouver Island, went to school in Burnaby for journalism, so I basically lived on the ferry. I will also point out, you can get a lot of work done on the ferry. There are massive work bank stations there, all plugged in, free Wi-Fi. Everybody can mind their own business. They even have headsets for you, put in your laptop. Bureaucrats who are working real hard for the Ministry of whatever, creativity, tourism, and money wasting. They could get a lot of work done for taxpayers instead of gawping out the window of some fancy helicopter. Maybe they're researching a restart of the Airwolf show from the 1980s, Carson. Maybe that's what they're working on.
Chris, don't tell them they can get work done on the ferry. We will never see a bureaucrat taking BC ferries if there's the threat they might have to do work on them.
Might they'll get allergic to it. In all seriousness, how can BC taxpayers fight this? I'm imagining in your pre-budget report where you're recommending where they need to cut down, this ministry is going to be getting a lot of extra attention from Carson on how to reduce the tab there. How can the average Alberta worker, if they have any time between their six jobs to pay the rent, actually push back on this crap?
Well, I'm not sure about the average Alberta worker, but what your average British
Oh, did I say
Columbian.
Alberta? Sorry,
You
slip of
did.
the
It's
tongue.
okay. It's
British
okay.
Columbian.
We knew what you were talking about. What your average British Columbian needs to do is pick up the phone, call their MLA, call the BC NDP, who's in power, who's our government right now, and say, "Hey guys, stop this kind of ridiculous waste. We have emergency rooms in big cities like Kelowna and Delta closing overnight because there's not the budget to keep them open. Meanwhile, bureaucrats are racking up six-figure helicopter tabs from a luxury helicopter service? Pick up your phone, let your MLAs, let the government know how mad you are at this, because this is unacceptable. Our loved ones are waiting on dangerously long government waitlists to access healthcare because there's not money to spend on it. Meanwhile, bureaucrats are taking dozens of luxury helicopter trips a year. Come on.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah, I mean, are they at least hunting deer while they're riding around those choppers? Like, all I can think about is like, who do these bureaucrats think they are? They think they're working for Parks Canada? Come on.
Hey, you know
And
what? We
folks,
should.
before you get mad at me, no, I'm not advocating people hunt deer out of a helicopter. Parks Canada did that when they spent 800 grand hunting 84 deer, right? They rented a $67,000 chopper.
Well, and
That's
Franco,
all I'm saying. Just making jokes.
you're forgetting the most the funniest part of that story. About half the deer they shot from the helicopters were the wrong type of deer because bureaucrats just can't seem to get it right.
I think the funniest part of that shooting deer from a helicopter story, which is a real thing, we're not just making that part up, is that they weren't good shots, and
Yeah.
also they were using firearms that we're not allowed to use in Canada, and also that they imported foreigners to try to do it. Like,
Yep.
the entire thing is just an absolute dumpster fire. And what I find odd slash funny is that whenever I see your name come up, Carson, for the podcast or whatever we're talking about, like a third of the time, there's a helicopter attached to the thing. Like, you've always got these stories. All right, Franco, any other points I should make here for dear Carson in British Columbia and the poor, hardworking taxpayers out there?
No, let's wrap it up. I'm gonna go right into let's do taxpayer pro tips.
Yeah.
Because I think we've covered off a lot of topics today, and our listeners and viewers are busy. So I'm gonna hop into my taxpayer pro tip, and that just goes to CBC Brass. You misunderstood the assignment. Okay. You know, outrage from across the political spectrum about the bonuses that you're handing out. But here's the thing. Taxpayers don't care about the name of the extra pay that you're doling out. Taxpayers want you to stop wasting money. Okay, so that you, so by using this sleight of hand where you end the bonuses, so-called end, and then you turn around and you dump $38 million in pay raises, a record high in 1 year, that's not saving taxpayers money. Okay, so the CBC Brass, you got your homework wrong. Time to resubmit it.
Carson, what is your taxpayer pro tip to the dear listener?
Oh man, BC bureaucrats learn to love the ferry. You see whales sometimes, the
It's
sea
pretty.
air on your face, it's refreshing, you know? There's a white spot to grab a burger and blow your taxpayer-funded per diem. BC bureaucrats learn to love the ferry. We've got lots of FOIs in right now to get your helicopter expenses. We will be naming and shaming you if you're blowing taxpayer money taking luxury helicopters instead of sitting on that white spot in the ferry.
I wish I were at the white spot on BC Ferries right now. Honestly,
Oh,
just
yeah.
such an ex wonderful experience, and it saves taxpayers money. So please use the ferry. My taxpayer pro tip is local, and it goes back down to Alberta taxpayers. I know it's July. I know people are going to rodeos and they're eating deep fried donuts and stuff. We're having a great time here in Alberta. But two things. One, the Premier of Alberta is holding town halls around Alberta about the next steps for our province in relation to Ottawa. Go sign up for those because it's super rare, even in the Western world, where you get that kind of access to a premier. So they've got a mic set up. You can send in questions ahead of time if you want to. So go find out where your local town hall is going to be with Premier Danielle Smith and let her know what your concerns are. Additionally to that, they're actually working on the budget right now. And contrary to popular belief, we are not swimming in cash. We do not have a big surplus. We are actually adding more money onto the debt. So, Premier Smith needs your help. Where does she cut? So, look it up, contact your MLA, help the Premier, help this government find savings. Because we don't want to be here in February with them saying, oh, I'm sorry, the dog ate my homework, we're adding more money to the debt. No. So, find those wasteful spending dollars, find out where the savings can be held, and contact your MLA. Contact the finance minister, Nate Horner, and tell them to stop wasting your money. That is the Alberta homework for our taxpayer pro tip. Folks, if you want to join the fight, hey, why wouldn't you want to have this much fun? Go to our website, taxpayer.com, Sign the petition that speaks to you, like quit piling up debt or cancel the hidden industrial carbon tax, stop wasteful spending in British Columbia. Sign that petition, and you'll be the first to know when it's time to fight for taxpayers again.